WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Many federal workers won't get paid on this 15th day of a government shutdown. Alaska's Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski.
Let's just end it. Let's get people back to work. Let's get people paid. Let's get functioning again.
The Senate voted last night but failed to pass the bill to end it. A fragile peace continues in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke to CBS News exclusively.
There are Gazans who are fighting Hamas and are saying, we don't want this anymore. And a lot of people in Gaza now know that Hamas has brought catastrophic consequences to them because of its fanaticism.
Supreme Court's about to take up congressional redistricting again. Loyola Law's Dane Ciel-Slino expects a quick decision.
The 2026 congressional elections are right around the corner, and the state of Louisiana and other states need to know what the rules are for redistricting.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The village of Cronenwetter has a new president. Former village police chief and trustee Dan Joling will serve until 2027. The seat was left open last week after David Baker resigned unexpectedly. Joling served as Cronenwetter's first police chief from 2004 to 2016 and was elected as a trustee last April. The village now seeks to fill the vacancy left open by Joling's appointment. Applications to fill the vacancy are due by November 11th and can be emailed to the village clerk or dropped off at the Cronenwetter Municipal Center. The Wausau School District has a new board member. Charles Berger was appointed at Monday's school board meeting. According to a community announcement, Berger's goal in his new role is to, quote, build upon Wausau School District's fine tradition and history of excellence. Berger is a graduate of Wausau East High School and a current school district parent. He has done fundraising work for the Wausau West Athletics and is a certified safety instructor for the Wisconsin DNR. The seat was left open after longtime Wausau School Board member Jane Roosh submitted her resignation in August. The Wausau Finance Committee on Monday approved some amendments to the proposed 2026 budget. The amendments included a plan to keep all three public pools open next summer. The committee also pushed forward a plan to redirect surplus money in the Animal Control Fund to support two community service officer positions that would address animal welfare and humane enforcement needs, and voted to borrow $2.5 million for a solar array project aimed at stabilizing water rates. A public hearing on the city's 2026 budget is set for October 28th, and the budget is expected to be signed on November 11th. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Brewers head to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, Game 3 of the NLCS. Tomorrow evening at 5:08 between the Brewers and Dodgers, the crew losing last night's game 5-1. Do the Brewers need to improve their focus? Pitcher Freddie Peralta.
Yeah, we have to, 100%. It's not fun to be 0-2, you know, going to L.A. I think we have to turn the page and try to come back in Los Angeles.
The Brewers have only 2 runs on 5 hits for the series so far. They've struck out 15 times. Pat Murphy.
You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Thunder, 116-112 at Fiserv Forum in their final preseason game.
Again, it wasn't our best basketball game, but offensively, we were really good. If we can play the same type of offense that we played tonight, you know, we're going to be pretty happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Meteorologist Brandon Bormans, a lingering shower possible in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and cool with highs in the mid-50s. For tonight, an isolated shower after midnight, lows in the mid-40s. On Thursday, a few scattered showers with mostly cloudy skies and highs in the lower 60s. Current temperature is 46.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW political science professor Barry Burton and Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from MU Law School. We discuss the shifts in Trump's approval ratings and the divide within Dems. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Reminding you that you can get our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner. Good morning. Nice to have you back here up north. On this Wednesday morning, it's October 15th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram standing by in Milwaukee. Later this hour, we will be talking to the national president of Protect Our Care, Leslie Dock, about what is really at stake in this government shutdown. We'll also have Melissa Baldoff talking about our weekly climate check update, including the ways that in this shutdown, the Trump administration has been cherry picking the way that it ends funding for projects, making a nakedly political partisan axe to projects that are in blue states as opposed to red states. And again, that's not something that happened before, and it's not something we're supposed to be normalizing. That's the kind of thing that authoritarians do. It's why there's going to be a whole lot of marches and rallies across the country on Saturday called No Kings Rally. And those No Kings rallies number at least 85 in Wisconsin so far. And Earl Ingram is going to be emceeing the one in Milwaukee at the Cathedral Square Saturday morning, 11 a.m. And Earl joins us now. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Tell me more about this. You're going to have a few friends and neighbors down there at Cathedral Square on Saturday.
Well, you know, I have to tell you honestly, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the first one of those rallies. And later on, I found out that there was 8,000 people, which is that's a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. But when I started realizing that this was happening in other places across the world, but especially in Milwaukee, I really became, you know, kind of like a sponge and looking and trying to find out, you know, what this actually was and why it's happening. And then I got an email that asked me if I would be willing to do this. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, Pat, I'm honored, excuse me, because I'm from the civil rights era, and this harkens back to that time. We're in an environment where politicians, in my opinion, won't be able to fix what is happening in this nation, and that it's incumbent upon the people of this country to force our nation to correct itself.
Yeah, and we've got, of course, it looks like it's going to be very well attended. It's going to be very effective at helping shape public opinion that we know what this administration is trying to do. And we know that this must be the case because the administration is already basically making up stuff about it. You had Sean Duffy and other members of the administration out there saying, well, these are all paid agitators. This is all Antifa, whatever the heck that's supposed to be. The fact that they're feeling the need to do this early says they know this is going to be a big deal come Saturday.
You know, Pat, early on this year, there were rallies in Racine that I got a chance to kind of emcee the first one in Racine. And then in Menominee Falls here outside of Milwaukee. And I can tell you, Pat, that over 95% of the attendees were elderly people, 70s and 80s. And that's who they were. And so, you know, when you have rallies that have seniors who are, you know, at the apex and the forefront of them, that's telling you something. With what I understand with what's going to be taking place on Saturday, it's young people, it's the elderly, it's unions, it's you know, different religion, it's the entire human family, it's the American people who have gathered. And, you know, it doesn't matter how they try to slant it. At the root of it is suburban people, rural people, urban people. It's the American populace that is organizing and that is trying to bring a message that they're just not satisfied. And as you well know, Pat, for those people who struggle, for those people who are concerned about health, can you imagine not being able in the wealthiest nation on earth to afford health care? But at the root of it is those things.
No, yes. And it's not, you know, I'm already seeing comments like, oh, this is just a bunch of retired government workers. No, go actually talk to the people who are there. And by the way, this isn't like some Milwaukee thing and some Madison thing and all the college towns, you know, Eau Claire will have one. Again, there's 85 of them. I'm going to try to read a bunch of them in our last segment at just after 8:50 this morning. But if I can just say around the Milwaukee area, folks who can't get there, the sites include Oconomowoc, Cedarburg, Brookfield, Muskego, Union Grove, Kenosha, Racine, Mount Pleasant, and Waukesha itself. There are people in all of these communities and dozens more who want to put themselves on the record as being opposed to what is going on right now.
You know, Pat, with that list you just, you know, ran down, anybody who can say that this is something, this is, you know, paid agitators, have really missed the mark. And as you stated, they're saying these things because they know at the root of it is a disgruntled populace of this nation who see their futures before their eyes and their grandchildren dissipating. And so they clearly are sending a message. I can't remember the last time, Pat, in this nation that a group of people as diverse as this were organized in sending these messages. And it's not anything that's being put in place by politicians. There aren't going to be politicians with the microphones.
No, this is as organic as it gets with real folks talking about real experiences and real concerns going on with this administration. And so as we let's pivot here and talk about, you know, part of the dissatisfaction with the economy is that people feel like they have less control over it, not just themselves personally, but in their communities. And let's take, for example, the financial sector. And we're so used to the big conglomerates, you know, the city banks and all that out there, that we forget the power of hometown banks and lending institutions, and frankly, banks that are, you know, owned or run by members of your local community. And you've noticed a very troubling trend when it comes to Black-owned banks in the country.
Well, you know, as a young boy in the city of Milwaukee, there were four Black banks as I was coming up. And those banks, you know, we had a pass in this nation that was not so fair and equitable. And so those banks offered opportunities for the American dream for people of color. Most of those banks are all gone. I think in the city of Milwaukee, I don't even think there's one left. And so, you know, I talked with a gentleman in North Carolina who is the CEO and president of the second oldest black bank in the nation. And he pointed out some things that are pretty alarming to me, but things that, you know, if you really gave it some thought, you would realize that at the root of all of it is an underserved community and people who really, through unfortunately no fault of their own, don't get fair and equitable treatment in this nation, even in 2025.
And did you say the number of what there was and what it's come down to?
Originally, at its height, 134 black banks in this nation. We're down to 27.
Yeah, it just again reminds me when we get to talking about institutional racism and DEI and all that, and the reasons why you're looking for representation, you need to look no farther than that. And we could look at other areas too, black owned farms and other things. But I think it was important that you called that to our attention. We're talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Find it over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows to learn more. And in one of your most recent ones here, Earl, you are talking on the subject of education and, you know, what it is about Milwaukee public schools. How do you get to the heart of what is the problem and what it is that we can do to make the Milwaukee School District stronger?
Well, Milwaukee Public Schools has a budget of over $1.3 billion. That is equivalent to the entire budget of Milwaukee County. So when we hear people say that there's not enough money in the district, it's not true. The money, unfortunately, goes towards benefits and salaries of many people inside of the district. The population of Milwaukee Public Schools, when I was a young boy, was 115,000. It is now down to under 60. And yet we still have the same amount of school buildings. We still have a budget that continues to increase, but at the root of it is benefits, and at the root of that is insurance costs, because, you know, while everybody else has to pay and struggle with insurance costs, Milwaukee Public Schools and the MTEA continue to get basically Cadillac and lifelong insurance that covers, even after they're Medicare eligible, they have these policies, these Cadillac policy, insurance policies, that continue, and they're unwilling to yield on that. And so money that should be used to educate children continue to go towards retiree benefits.
And that is, to me, so stunning to hear that there's similar facilities despite the population shifts. And it just gives that opportunity to again say that, I mean, we sound like massive cheerleaders for public education, because I am. That's why. But that does not mean, and please do not confuse that to mean, that everything is okie dokie and perfect and that public school districts can do no wrong. No, the baseline has to be a good quality education, but you have to have a certain level of accountability, not necessarily hostility like we see in the state capitol, but accountability at these school districts is extremely important, Earl.
Yeah, absolutely. And so at the root of what I'm attempting to do with the guest and a series of podcasts dealing with education is peel back, you know, the onion and realize that even though I'm a supporter of Milwaukee Public Schools, these are taxpayer dollars. And at a time when the taxpayers are struggling, we should make sure that we do everything within our power to not have school buildings that were built to house 2,000 or more students when I was a young boy going to Milwaukee to public schools, to now having 300 kids in a building that houses 2,000.
Yeah.
And saying we can't shut it down. Come on.
Come On is exactly right. So to hear more of that discussion on the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and learn more. Earl, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the visit.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Still along the way, we're going to be talking to Leslie Dock, the national president of Protect Our Care. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Struggling with mental illness or supporting someone who is? NAMI Northwoods offers compassion and support for those affected by mental health conditions. Mental illness isn't a weakness, it's a medical condition. Recovery is possible. Call or text 715-432-0180 or visit NAMINorthwoods.org. In a crisis, call 988, the 24/7 suicide and crisis line, staffed by caring Wisconsinites. NAMI Northwoods, because no one should face mental illness alone.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Bit of a dreary start here in north central Wisconsin. It's overcast. Temperature stands at 47 degrees. Getting a dose of fall. Rest of the day, mostly cloudy and a high of 55. Thursday, chance of showers in 57, but then things will start to warm up again on Friday with mostly cloudy skies and a high of 71 degrees. Of course, you can hear the forecast with our Civic Media weather team at the top and bottom of every hour, part of our information updates here on 98.9 WXCO. With Ian Walsh, I am Chad Holmes. Thank you, Ian, for covering for me in the last segment.
You're welcome, Chad. It was definitely some much-needed rain last night. It's actually perfect atmosphere for seeing the Adams. For seeing the Adams family last night. Oh, it was so awesome. My family and I got to see that. I've been looking forward to that show over quite some time.
Yeah, I know you were.
and disappoint.
Absolutely. So, no, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad it was a fun time. And as you said earlier as well, another opportunity for folks to go and see it later on this evening at 7:30.
That's right.
Also a chance tomorrow for you to join us, as tomorrow we are having a 98.9 WXCO station open house.
That's right.
We want you to stop on by. We will have some finger food courtesy of the Mint Cafe here in downtown Wausau. We will give you an opportunity to take a look around, be able to sit in front of the microphones, be able to talk to us, ask us questions, give us your thoughts on things maybe you'd like to see on the air, maybe things that you would change, maybe just ideas. So again, we would just love to have you come on by and take a look around and just say hello. Enjoy a little bit of the snacks. We have some WXCO swag as well that we will give away. So again, don't have to be here for the entirety. Just pop on in when you have a chance, anytime between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. That's 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. tomorrow here in downtown Wausau. Again, we're located at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, 301 North 3rd Street. We're right across from the new Foundry on 3rd, right across from Washington Square. So you really can't miss us. Got a big sign that says Bull Falls Radio right here at the corner Washington and 3rd. So we'd really like you to come on by. Let your friends know. Let others know. Just pay a visit. And again, we'd love to hear your thoughts on what you'd like to see from us in the next year and maybe things you enjoy as well. So again, that's from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. tomorrow, our WXCO station open house. And also, you can come on by between 2 and 4 and watch Todd Alba do his show live. Yep, the statewide show that Todd does every day from our Madison headquarters. But he is going to be coming up here to Wausau and do his show live here from our studios at the corner of Washington and 3rd Street.
That's cool.
From 2 until 4 p.m. tomorrow. So that should be a lot of fun to come by and see Todd do his thing tomorrow. And again, just part of our activities for our station open house. So hopefully we will see you tomorrow.
If you have a number of the day that you want to test me on, bring your numbers and see if you can help me get out of my losing rut. Right? And just a fun little challenge as well.
Exactly right.
There's plenty of numbers out there. I mean, no topic is too vague.
There you
trust
go.
Me. We talked about a lot of different topics that were kind of weird.
We'll have that coming up in just one moment. But first, real fast, I want to remind people to join us tonight from 6 till 8 p.m., another edition of the Big High School Sports Show right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I'll be joined by Jason Foster. We'll talk about what's going on in high school football. It is the final week of the regular season for 11-player football and the start of the playoffs for 8-player football. Plus, we'll be joined by our guest, D.C. Everest head football coach Braden Mitchell. Evergreen's coming off a big win against Stevens Point last week. He'll be with us at 6:30. And Cooper DePoint, the Wausau West senior, he had a massive game with more than 260 yards rushing last week in the Warriors' win over Eau Claire Memorial. He'll be with us at 7:06. So join us tonight, 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show right here on 98.9 WXCO and online. And also you can watch the show live by going to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get Ian back on the winning track here with our number for the day quiz.
Yeah, I got to focus.
2 weeks ago, 0 for 5. Last week, 0 for 5. This week, 0 for 2. That's not good.
No, it is not.
That is not good at all. So let's see if we can get it right today. And, of course, this past Sunday was Thanksgiving in Canada. We will have our Thanksgiving coming up in November.
Okay.
And, of course, lots of folks get a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Our number for the day is the number of turkeys raised in Minnesota each year. Minnesota is the top turkey-producing state in the United States.
Okay.
So how many turkeys are raised in Minnesota every year, the number one turkey-raising state in the country?
Okay, what are my choices?
Your choices are 32 million turkeys, 40 million turkeys, 48 million turkeys.
This is every year in Minnesota?
This is the number of turkeys raised in Minnesota each year. 32 million, 40 million, or 48 million turkeys.
You know, I'm going to say I'm going to say 40 million. Final answer, 40 million.
On Monday, it was the middle number. Yesterday, it was the biggest number.
Yeah.
Today, it was the smallest number.
Oh, darn it.
32 million turkeys raised in Minnesota each year.
Am I trying too hard?
Tomorrow is our open house day, so you're going to have to get it right, or else we're going to have everybody comes in here give you numbers to see if you can get one of theirs right.
Oh, absolutely.
But we will see you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Domestic and family violence claimed the lives of 109 individuals in 2024. That's according to a report released October 1st by End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Jane Graham Jennings is the executive director of the Women's Community, a Wausau-based organization that helps people affected by domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and human trafficking. Jennings spoke with Chad Holmes this week on the WXCO Morning Show. She says it's hard to combat the rising number of deaths because of the complexity of domestic violence.
There still is a tendency for people to blame victims, and there's still not an incentive for people who cause harm to change.
She says there is a power dynamic in a household affected by domestic violence.
The people who choose harm manipulate and control everything. They manipulate the systems, they manipulate law enforcement, they manipulate judges, and they keep getting away with that.
Wisconsin has a mandatory arrest law for domestic violence cases, which means when a police officer is called to a scene of domestic violence, they are required to find out who the predominant aggressor is and arrest them. Jennings says that law hasn't curbed the problem.
People who use power and control manipulate the entire system and continue to be manipulative and continue to harm and hurt their family members, and they use the legal system to do that.
Jennings says for those who may be in a domestic violence situation, you are not alone, it's not your fault, and there is help for you.
We are here, we believe you, and we understand.
You can donate to the Women's Community at womenscommunity.org. All donations will be matched up to $10,000 through October. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Taylor Swift has gotten tons of attention lately, first for having the number one movie and number one album in America, and then for showing up at her first Chiefs game since her engagement to Travis Kelce was announced, making her pretty much the first lady of the Kansas City Chiefs. But if anyone saw the recent Us Weekly, they would know that Taylor's got some stiff competition, as the headline read, "Brittany Mahomes rocks white shirt and denim while kissing Patrick Mahomes at Chiefs game," and you thought it was a slow news week. If you actually take time out to read the article, she also had a red handbag and let her long blonde locks fall in soft waves. Damn, I've been trying to break that story for weeks. But if you thought that was juicy, Us Weekly recapped two of Britney's Instagram posts. That's right, folks. In America, you have the option of reading about social media posts a couple days later as opposed to reading them hot off the send button. And if all that fails, you can listen to someone make fun of the posts and the article in my Hollywood Beats. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
Meteorologist Brandon Bormans, a lingering shower possible in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and cool with highs in the mid-50s. For tonight, an isolated shower after midnight, lows in the mid-40s. On Thursday, a few scattered showers with mostly cloudy skies and highs in the lower 60s. Current temperature is 46.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Kennedy Jr. says that circumcision could be linked to autism via Tylenol. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Exactly 1 hour from right now, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane Matinair and Greg Bach for Matinair on Air. Matinair on Air follows us every weekday, 9 to 11, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk now about the government shutdown, and it really is that simple. It's about health care. It's about affordable health care and whether certain cuts and price increases are, you know, enshrined and take hold, or if some of those can be undone so that health insurance coverage remains affordable to Americans. That's what's at the heart of all of this, and the group Protect Our Care has been working on this issue for well over a decade now. The national chair of the group, Leslie Dock, is with us right now to talk more about it. Leslie, good morning. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me talk about this incredibly important issue that's about to slam Wisconsinites in their pocketbooks and worse.
Yeah. Now, when we talk healthcare, we can talk about several different things. There's the way that the, you know, the big bloated boondoggle from the Trump budget. I mean, there are ways in it that harm Medicare. There's, of course, the $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts. But then there's also the expiration of these enhanced tax credits so that people who buy policies through the Affordable Care Act marketplace, so those policies are a bit more affordable. At the heart of this, Leslie, is simply that it's what are Democrats saying that they want in return for votes that would help Republicans pass a bill that opens up the government?
What they're saying is that, and what they are saying is what the American people believe, that healthcare in America should be affordable. Republicans are refusing to come back to Washington and do the nation's business. They control all three parts of the government, the House, the Senate, and obviously the presidency. They could fix this any day they wanted to, but instead they won't even show up for work. The House of Representatives hasn't been in Washington for weeks. The Democrats are there. Republicans even refuse to come to the office. And as a result, there will be hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin who will face agonizing choices about whether or not they can afford their health care. And, you know, this is an economic issue for people. We all know in our families, when somebody gets sick, it takes over the kitchen table. And imagine having to face a serious illness, knowing that you can't afford to see a doctor. But that's what the Republicans have chosen to do. Let's remember that these are the same folks who are giving a $4 trillion tax cut to the big corporations and the richest of the rich. But when it comes to hardworking Americans, they won't even come to the office.
Won't even. And that tells you the fact that they're actually looking to exacerbate the pain that Americans are feeling should tell you something about where their priorities and where their values are. Now, there's an interesting distinction here that I think would help more people understand what's at stake. It's the notion of things that were temporary either being made permanent or at least being extended. So you mentioned the $4 trillion tax cut geared toward the very wealthy. Those are the 2017 tax cuts from Trump's first term. They were slated to expire at the end of this year or next year, and Republicans insisted on extending those and making many of them permanent. Now it's Democrats who want to make something either permanent or extended, and it's the enhanced tax credits. So, I mean, there's really no big mystery here, Leslie, that both parties see things that they would like to see extended, Republicans got what they wanted, but they won't even negotiate with Democrats for what they want.
Well, yeah, and I hate even to put this in the line, party lines in that way, because we're talking about the economics, well-being, and matters of life and death for American families who are going to see staggering increases because of this. You know, if you're, I'm just looking up a number here. If you're a 60-year-old couple in Wisconsin and you make $82,000 a year, as an example, your premium costs are going to increase by $20,000. Now, that's a staggering blow to people. And, you know, the fact is, the just the service on the debt that the Republicans are forcing Americans to pay in order to have that massive tax cuts for the rich is larger, is a larger dollar amount than it would be to make sure that these help for middle-class Americans doesn't go away. So, you know, it's not about the money. It's just that they believe people, hardworking people, should have to do everything on their own and lose their health care. And the other reason why I think it's important to be, yes, it's a partisan divide. Yes, in Washington, D.C., Republicans refuse to do it and Democrats are fighting for it. But in America, in the heartland, it is a totally bipartisan issue. 74% of Republicans want these want this economic help to come back. So this is not, shouldn't be seen as, it's really Republicans in government versus real Americans.
Yeah, and we got into this discussion earlier this morning about the what I would label as amnesia about what things were like before the Affordable Care Act. And I reminded folks that a 2008 poll among many showed that 82% of Americans wanted the system overhauled. So yes, while my last question was through a partisan frame, you're absolutely right to point out that Americans have known since well before the Affordable Care Act that our healthcare system needs to be more focused on the people rather than the, you know, the profits and the politicians. So it definitely sounds like the work that you're doing has the vast majority of Americans on your side.
Without doubt. And, it's really, you can't even explain it to people. I mean, why would people do this? Why would they refuse to come to work? Why would they raise healthcare costs for hardworking people to the point where they're going to have, where, in Wisconsin alone, over 100,000 people will probably lose their insurance completely because they can't afford it, and make believe that that's something that the American people want.
We are talking with Leslie Dock. He's the national chair of Protect Our Care about the stakes in this for all Americans, frankly. I know that people would like to say, well, this is just about people who are on the Affordable Care Act. But as we remember from, again, pre 2010, if you're going to increase the number of uninsured Americans, and that's what these price hikes are going to do, if you increase the number of uninsured Americans, they're still going to get care. So that's still, now it's going to be uncompensated care. And then we all end up paying the premiums. I mean, Leslie, you know all this. It's a weird sense of deja vu from what we had in this country prior to 2010.
Yeah. And look, the fact is that Americans, you know, they were skeptical of the Affordable Care Act at the beginning, but now they overwhelmingly support it. But Republicans just want to play politics with this. And, you know, no one can really have a, there's no reason. You know, they throw that money away to big corporations any chance they can get. Yeah. But they won't do that for real people. I want to mention one date, because November 1st is when the open enrollment for ACA insurance starts. And that's the date by which when enrollees go to the website and want to have insurance for next year, they will see the staggering prices that they're going to have to pay. This will be amazing. And just put yourself in the shoes. All of us have in one way or another. If it's not us, we've had a relative or a family member. And now what they want to do, who is relying on quality care, and now they just want to take it away. See you later.
It's funny that you talk about quality care, because we do get people that say, well, you know, before the Affordable Care Act, there were more options and premiums were lower. And I felt the need to remind people early in the program, and I'll do it again right now. Yeah, there were lower premiums. There were more policies. And you know what? A lot of them were junk. And if you never needed them, well, then you didn't know. You just thought, oh, health insurance is cheap. But man, how many horror stories, Leslie, did we see of people who thought, I've never needed healthcare before. I've always paid my premiums. And now I find out that after years of paying premiums, they're denying me coverage. That was the way it was.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
You know, you had a bad cough, they could deny you coverage. You know, you were born with something and you stayed in the ICU when you were a baby, your whole life, they can deny you coverage. So, you know, these are things that look, the healthcare system is not perfect. It's too expensive. We all agree. But instead of trying to make it better, these folks want to take it backwards, and they want to take Americans along with them.
And it continues to be a mystery of why they would want to do that, because, again, the whole point of governance is that you take something and you make it better. Instead, we've heard repeal and replace, but there was never a replacement. And I guess I would simply still ask the president, how you doing with those concepts of a plan? Because yeah. He was asked point blank in the debate, what's your replacement? Do you have a plan? And he says, well, I have concepts of a plan. Well, where's that plan? And we're still waiting. You're not hearing anything new about a new plan from the Republicans, right?
Well, we're living their plan.
That's true. Yes.
They have a plan.
Yeah.
It's to take health care away from millions of Americans and make it unaffordable for many more. So they got a plan. I mean, don't give them the credit of being dumb.
We are talking to Leslie Dock, who's the national chair of Protect Our Care. And so in bringing this to a conclusion, Leslie, what is it that you'd like folks to do? Because I know people have been, they'll be at No Kings rallies this weekend, yeah, talking about the cuts to Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if when it comes to the enhanced tax credits, is that the thing that you would want people to call their congressman and tell them to, you know, protect and extend?
Yes. It's, you know, because it has this impending deadline. But we're still going to have fights next year on Medicaid and on Medicare. But this one is the one I think that's right in front of us now. And I think also, you know, look at Wisconsin and the people. You have one senator, Senator Baldwin, who's crisscrossing the entire state to build support for maintaining and not take for you know, not taking away these tax credits. And then you have people like Van Orden and your other senator, who's gone nameless, but Ron Johnson, who won't even, you know, Van Orden won't even go to work. So so the thing to do is we have to convince those Republicans that this isn't about some weird ideology that they have. This is about the life and death of millions of Americans and their economic stability as well.
Yeah. Leslie Dock is the national chair for Protect Our Care, which continues to be highly outspoken on these topics. And of course, we've talked to Joe Sopecki many a time here in Wisconsin about that. And Leslie, we really appreciate you joining us again to talk about things from a national standpoint and giving us those Wisconsin figures as well. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the visit and have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, that's Leslie. And we'll be talking to Joe Sopecki, of course, tomorrow morning, as we do every week, surely about matters related to Protect Our Care and the aforementioned No Kings rallies that I talked about. Coming up after the break, I'm going to start to review some of them. There's 85 of them. I'm not going to get to all of them. Maybe. Well, maybe so. Let me go take a big drink of water, wet my whistle, and see if we can get you linked up with a place somewhere in your area code that you might want to attend this weekend and let people know what you think about the current state of politics today. I'm Pat Kotlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can read more of what we do at Up North News by signing up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And click on subscribe up in the top banner. Subscribe to our daily newsletter that Ellie Bordeaux puts together Monday through Friday. And then my Sunday politics newsletter as well. We'd love to have you on board. As a subscriber, head over to the website to do just that. All right. Well, all across the country are going to be rallies again. And you heard Earl Ingram talking about them earlier this hour, because they were held originally... was it May? I don't remember now, but we had rallies all across the country. The Trump administration had only been in office for 3-4 months, but it was already looking like things were going to be going off the rails, and there were people that wanted to express themselves. Well, since that time, a whole lot more has happened, and a whole lot more people would like to express their thoughts on what it's like to have a president that sends troops into the streets, masked troops that do not have warrants, making arrests, kidnapping people right off the streets, disappearing them, making decisions on not funding things based on political party. We have members of Congress who are getting people fired because they want to deny them their freedom of speech to give an opinion on something or somebody that they happen to disagree with. We have somebody who unilaterally is putting tariffs in place willy-nilly. You never know which day it's going to be. Congress is supposed to have an oversight role about this, but they, of course, abdicated all of that. You've got all the grift that's going on, the billions of dollars that's gone into Donald Trump's pockets since he became president because of the rampant corruption. It's no wonder people want to maybe express themselves again. And again, what comes of this? What comes of this is people understanding that they're not alone in saying, this is not normal. We should not normalize this. And by the way, this happened another time. There's one other note from today's history lesson that I haven't told you about yet, but it was on this day, October 15th, 1969, that there were massive demonstrations across the country. It was called the Moratorium to End the War in Vietnam. And on October 15th, 1969, people all across the country marched in big cities and in small cities to make the point that we are sick of what we are seeing. Did it end the war the next day? No. Did it help lead to an end of the war? Yes. Because when enough Americans get together to express themselves in that way, it moves politicians. They do. They know who's calling their offices, not who, but they know how many people are calling their offices to express an opinion on this or that. And when they see the pendulum swing like that, they move along. And so that's why you're going to see a healthy turnout at places, and maybe some of them are close to you. Now, I don't know that I can get to all 85 of these in about 3 minutes, but let me tell you about some of them. I made a list basically up and down Wisconsin, left to right, top to bottom. So I'm starting in Superior, where they'll be at the Douglas County Courthouse at noon. In Bayfield, across from Seagull Bay at 10 a.m. There will be a Washburn one at 10 a.m. Ashland and Pearson Plaza at noon. Brule near the post office at noon, Hayward at Democracy Corner at noon, Spooner at noon, Siren, I love Siren, Siren at the traffic light, Siren at the traffic light, 10 a.m. on Saturday, Rice Lake across from Marketplace Foods at 10 a.m. Over to Eagle River, they'll be in Wall Street Square at 11 a.m., in Minocqua at Veterans Park at 11 a.m. Saturday, in Phillips at the Price County Courthouse at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, in Rhinelander at Pioneer Park at noon. Let me pause here to say, you don't have to be writing these down. If you forget one, they're all at one website. No Kings. These are the No Kings rallies. NoKings.org. As I was saying, in Amory at Soulline Park at noon. Ladysmith has one at 9 a.m. River Falls at the Public Library at 11 a.m. Menominee in Wilson Park at 2 p.m. In Chippewa Falls at the Peace Circle at 4 p.m. Eau Claire starts at 10 a.m. If you don't hear me give a location in a city, chances are there was a No Kings rally this spring, and I've been told that it'll be at the same location, even if they forgot to make note of it here. In Medford, across from the Farmers Market at 9 a.m. Saturday, Antigo at noon, Marinette Menominee, Stevenson Island Park at 11:30 Saturday morning, Shawano at Franklin Park at 11 a.m. In Wausau, the rally starts at noon, and Prescott, it starts at 9 a.m. In Marshfield, it starts at noon. In Juddville, up in Door County, the rally gets started at 2 p.m. In Algoma, Legion Park at 11 a.m. Stevens Point at 11 a.m. In Pepin, the Laurel Ingalls Wilder Park at 11 a.m. Green Bay has a rally planned for 3 p.m. Saturday. Black River Falls will be at the BRF Bridge at 11 a.m. In La Crosse, at Java Vino. I'm interested in a place called Java Vino, now that I know there's such a place in La Crosse. Saturday at noon. Sparta at the corner of Wisconsin Street and Black River Street at 11 a.m. Wisconsin Rapids at 10 a.m., Waupaca at 2 p.m., in Manitowoc at Washington Park at 11 a.m., in Wautoma at 11 a.m., in Oshkosh at Hiker Park at 1 p.m. Over to Friendship now, the Adams County Courthouse at noon. Mauston starts at 11:45. Montello at Daggett Memorial Park at noon. Ripon at the Little White Schoolhouse, birthplace of the Republican Party, starts at 11:30 Saturday. Fond du Lac at 9:30. Sheboygan, Peace Park at 1 o'clock. Viroqua, 10 a.m. Reedsburg at the Community Market at noon. Baraboo at 10. Beaver Dam near the Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly at 11 a.m. Does it get more Americana than this? In West Bend, Republican as all get out West Bend, folks are going to gather at the Washington County Government Center at 1 p.m. Richland Center at 1 p.m., Sauk Prairie at the Highway 12 Bridge near Quick Trip at 10 a.m., Little Mazomani has a rally starting at noon, Waterloo at Veterans Memorial Park at noon. And then I can't get to all the rest of them here. We're in the final minute of the show. But Watertown, Oconomowoc, Prairie du Chien, Lancaster, Dodgeville, New Glarus, Albany, Monroe, Janesville, Delavan, Sun Prairie, Middleton, Madison, Monona, McFarland Park, Stoughton, Lake Mills, Cambridge, Fort Atkinson, Oconomowoc, Cedarburg, Brookfield, Waukesha, Muskego, Union Grove, Kenosha, Racine, Mount Pleasant, Greenfield, Shorewood, Cudahy, and Milwaukee, Cathedral Square, 11 a.m., emceed by Earl Ingram. Get out there on Saturday and express yourself peacefully but loudly. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Matt and Air on Air is next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Shutdowns entered its 15th day, and some government workers, including military members, are getting paid. Some are not. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blaming the administration.
The overwhelming majority of Americans say we need help with our health care, and they're busy spending $20 billion because Trump seems to really like the leader of Argentina.
That aid going to the South American nation. The Supreme Court is taking up new congressional maps ahead of the midterm elections. CBS's Jan Crawford.
They did try to decide this case in their session last term, and they held off to really look at what could be one of the biggest constitutional issues they'll take up this term.
Peace plan holding in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has spoken exclusively to CBS News.
It is always the responsibility of the leader of the Jewish state to make sure that the Jewish state is never imperiled with its very existence.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.